Okay, you're recording.
All right, so everybody back on, or two members back on the phone and recording. So we are back in open session. We are on case 2120. And I believe Ms. Frost, you were leading the discussion or asking the question of staff. We were looking at some of the rules and definitions before we were interrupted.
So,
So I believe that Victoria was answering my question about verification or identification of the bodies prior to cremation.
Yeah, and Ms. Frost, you had multiple questions within your question, but I'm going to kind of cut to the chase of what I think the heart of this is the question of whether it's a standard practice in the crematory industry for the crematory to open the bag and look inside to see which pet is in there, and it is not. Obviously there's decomposition that may occur, pathogens and things that may escape when opening the bags. I've always only ever seen an animal being put into the retort inside a bag. They're all the tracking places that take place is by the tag that they're given at the veterinary facility. The crematory usually adds their own tag when it gets to the facility. Almost all crematories have a metal tag for animals that are not going to be communal. If they're individual or private, they'll have a metal tag that stays with the animal from the time it gets to the crematory all the way through. The complete process stays with the animal until it gets put in the urn. So that's how, and then their paper record should reflect the number or, you know, whatever coding system they have on that. So that's how the identification occurs. So
obviously, use that metal tag?
Do they reuse it? No.
They take it out of the ashes, reuse it, or it stays
with the ashes? They typically leave it in the ashes. But they are required by our rules to keep the weight. And so that is one way standard in the industry where they're supposed to weigh it. So obviously if there was a big weight difference from what they were told and what they weighed when the animal, then that's obviously a trigger to them to be like, you know, I think there could be an issue. And typically they would then contact the veterinary hospital to check that. But while I completely understand, it seems logical that we may be opening bags to see who's in there. That's not done because of, you know, the health concern of risk of spreading disease. So it's really on the veterinary hospital to identify it properly in the beginning. That's not to say the tags could not get mixed up at the crematory. But again, the burden by the rules is on the clinic.
When it arrived, was the metal tag added? I didn't see that metal tag description in there. Do you know?
I don't know that they always keep. I know some do, but not all of them keep it that way. There's no requirement for them to keep it in there, but some of them do just leave it all there. So they're not reusing the tags. I don't know what Powell's does.
I didn't see in the process of this pet was tagged when it got to house with a metal tag.
The metal tag's in the cremation chamber, not on the bag. Is that what you're talking about?
But if it's tagged on the pet when it gets there and it stays with it through the whole process, I didn't ever see that piece of the process happen in this case. So I don't know if it's a requirement or if it's just the best practice, but.
It's every place has their own process of how they tag and things like that. So that would be a question for Powell's of how what their process is. Our rules just require them to have a process. You know, have written policies obviously that they keep. So what you could look at is did they follow their own processes?
So Ms. Frost, are you gonna take us in any particular direction?
Yeah, so again, I have prepared a list of questions which, you know, may or may not have been appropriate to ask the veterinarian And mostly because the follow-up response was addressing the zip tie as being faulty for a very long period of time. And I guess I don't understand why that's now being discussed. If it was an issue, why it wasn't remedied prior. And, you know, again, I'm not really sure. Maybe I need to ask for, you know, the advice from the attorney, but, you know, where the crematorium falls into this whole process at this point, or if it's a little early and we need to ask the veterinarian more questions just about the identification process for the patient. And I had an issue with the significant weight difference. Because obviously 3 pounds and 12 pounds is not even close. So I guess at this point I would make a motion to move this to an informal, just so that we can ask more questions of the veterinarian.
A motion on the floor.
If we move it to an informal on a veterinarian, can we add, because PALS is not the the group that's
we'd
being
open
complained
a new case.
Against. We have
we'd
to
open a new case, that'd be a separate motion.
So it'd be nice if that could all be done at once.
I agree. I didn't know if that was an option, just because it in my opinion, it's not really two separate things. It's trying to get down to the failure and the error here. And sure, it may have started at the beginning, but I don't understand the lack of checks and balances and who's, you know, the responsibility as far as verification of weights and, you know, those types of things.
Mr. Attorney General, any?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if you would like, you can open up a complaint against sales, and I guess you could expedite it by just, you know, because an informal is by, you know, they have the right to say no, you could always include in your motion, open up a complaint and invite them in for an informal interview to be held at the same time that you hold an informal interview. That's the direction you're going to go for Dr. Collins.
That's still a separate motion.
That is.
First, we have this motion on the floor. And do we have a second? I don't know.
Not yet.
I don't think we have a second. Motion on the floor is to move 2120 to informal.
Second.
Now we have a second. Further discussion.
I'm just torn on this one. I don't want to, you know, I feel terrible for the pet owner. And I know if I was, you know, in the shoes, I would be very upset. I just, I'm not sure I'm clear on what more information I'm going to get from informals. I think it was
I guess I feel that way with the veterinarian, but we haven't really got into the crematory. I mean, we just scratched the surface there.
Right.
The veterinarian and Murphy heard the offer of consent agreement and penalty right now. There is mouthful.
Well, I guess that's my question, because I want to understand the process of filling out those forms, because it may not be required that the crematorium collect the information. However, there's blanks on the form for the type of animal, which sounds like the species, it's the breed, you know, those types of things, so I don't understand.
If you put the breed, you're going to include the species, right? Because they're not...
Right, that's the type of animal is what I'm coming to, but again, I don't understand why those are blank.
Well, yeah, what's the point of having a form if you're not going to fill it in? Yes. So I don't know whether you're going to get the answer to that. I think from what we've seen so far, she's going to say, well, that's the form from the crematory, not my form. And I just fill it out for them. I mean, that's what I anticipate from what we've seen so far. I think she kind of said that already.
Okay. This is Dr. Heinrich. I have a question for Victoria. Is Dr. Collins the premise holder for pets at rest in home pet euthanasia?
I believe she is. Don't know that I can look it up real quick, though.
Oh.
I think that she, I would say I think she is while I'm looking it up, because it's just a mobile unit service, and
I think
typically that's just one person.
I think she is.
I mean, I don't know what else we're going to get you from the doctor at an informal. I would agree. I feel like we already have her statement, and ultimately, I believe that that's where probably mislabeled, but could I prove that 100%? I couldn't. I don't know if the tags broke off, but even if the, you know, she kind of admitted that she knew that these tags were kind of faulty and have now since changed them, but at the time, he tagged this animal, and if he knew that the tags were bad, he should have done something about it. Like, I just feel like there's, I don't know that we're going to get anything out that's going to make me go, okay, you didn't have some ownership in how this might have happened. Like, I just.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I have a little different perspective on the storyline, because the original storyline that we have from the complainant and in her own text messages is that, oh, I'm so sorry, I mislabeled those that night. I waited till I got home. I should have done them immediately. I waited till I got home, and I must have mislabeled those. And then not until the committee hearing did she come up with a story about the zip ties. That came up later. That was not in her conversations with the complainant. It was not in her text messages. It was only the first time we heard about that was in her response and her interview with the investigative community. It was the first time that was ever brought up.
And it's the first time I've heard that as a complaint. I mean, quite honestly, I've been practicing
for 25
years.
Nobody else mentioned the zip ties.
I have not had an issue with the zip ties.
I mean, I've seen some zip ties used in outdoor situations with direct sunlight. They get brittle, they break. This isn't happening. This is for a week in cold storage, not, you know, in a refrigerated van driving around picking things up. It's not in that kind of circumstances where, you know, the hardware store would have to put those in the sunlight and then put them on their shelf and sell them, right? They'd have to hang them out there for a year and then sell them. After they've been sitting in the sun for a year to just have that kind of property, just not the property of zip tie. So, I mean, if she can't show me a bunch of broken zip ties, you know, it's up to us to use our judgment whether that did happen or did not happen. I'm gonna say it probably didn't happen.
And even if it did, then where's the, show me where you've made complaints to files, or show me where you've done something different to fix it.
Yeah. And nothing changed until this. And she says she's using her own zip ties as a different one. I don't know that. She didn't send us a picture of the high quality zip ties she bought versus the cheap one that they were supplying her with to show us the difference.
And she said that she was using them now, not at the time that this occurred. At the time that this occurred, she is still using the known faulty zip ties.
Yeah.
So that, I guess that's my issue, is if you have had 12 of them break, why are you still using them? Maybe. I don't know. And I don't know if that really happened. I don't know if we have any way. All I can say is from the information we have, I don't think we're going to be able to say 100% sure they were mislabeled, but I think using judgment, I think we all, well, at least I feel like the pet was probably mislabeled from the beginning. And that's why we're here. I can't prove it, but none of these cases can be 100% prove, you know, what happened exactly. So I just feel like.
And there's not a requirement that we do.
No.
At 100% proof.
No.
We have to use our best judgment. That's why there's a group of us, not just one of us.
I mean, and I'm sure it was an honest mistake. I'm sure she, I don't feel like there was ill intent or anything like that. I think it's a mistake that you need to be held accountable for, to make sure that you're going to change your ways and pay a little bit more attention so that this doesn't happen again.
So, also, Ms. Brown's point is she'd kind of like to do these in tandem. And really the only way to do that is to move this to an informal and make the new motion to move the other one immediately to an informal and have both at the same time.
I'd be more apt to see a violation on the case we have in front of us. And then if we still feel like the crematory needs to be looked into more as far as did they follow their practices and their piece of this, then I can say we open that case separately. But I just don't see what we're going to get from the doctor. But I know Mr. Frost has other questions, I'm fine going that way too. I just don't want to drag her through more if I'm not going to get anything different.
Mr. Chairman, just could I interrupt and answer Dr. Heinrich's question yes, Dr. Collins is the responsible vet for pets at rest.
Thank you.
All right, so I guess we can vote on this motion, see where we go, and then we can, whatever track that takes us down, we can.
So the motion is to move this to
the motion is to move case 2122 to an informal. So, is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krager?
Nay.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Heinrich?
Nay.
Dr. James?
Nay.
Mr. Lohi?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
The nays have it.
Okay, so the motion fails to move 2120 to an informal.
I mean, the other note that I had, based on what I was originally seeing, but again, I feel like there's a lot of procedural things that I'd love to be able to ask the doctor about and kind of work through to help maybe prevent this in the future more substantially. But if that's not the path we go down, be able to have that conversation, which I think would be valuable, then we could definitely propose a consent agreement under our 311-5011, failure to provide
professionally acceptable procedures. Is that a motion?
I'll make the motion. I know that there may be some other thoughts here, so I don't want to waste everybody's time with somebody who didn't want to go forward with the informal has something else in mind. This is Heinrich. If that's the motion, I'll second it.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor and a second. And do we have that rule tied to, is that going to be tied to ARS
3222-33?
3212? All right, so we have a motion on the floor and a second. Any further discussion? Well, to find the violation. So we don't have what we're going to do about the violation. So I guess we'll do that first. Motion on the floor and a second to find a violation. Any further discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Nay.
Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Heinrich?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes.
Okay, so next up is our, what, findings of fact? We've already got the conclusions of law on violation, right?
Right, so you do need to articulate what the findings are that constitute the violation.
And consent, and then offer the...
Right, and then,
So, first motion for the consent agreement, and then I'll add all those things in?
Well, we already, right, so...
We found the violation.
Right, and if we could just articulate what the factual basis for the finding of the violation was.
Mislabeling the animals, mixing up the tags, and not completing the forms for each animal.
For Dr. Collins.
Yeah.
For Dr. Collins.
And then if we can...
And Ms. Frost, is that right? Anything to add?
Yeah, I would say that for the pet owner's request and their agreement on how the remains were to be, processed.
Outside of just stating that, do we need to vote on that?
Yes, please.
So you
so
make a motion that the findings of fact are mislabeling of the pet and ensuring that the pet was properly, was properly labeled if you thought it was going to break, doesn't use something else, in other words. That's the motion. That's our findings.
Incomplete form.
And the complete form that might have given the agreement for him more information.
Mark, would they be accepting the findings of fact as proposed in the committee report?
I would ask them to take a look at the committee's report.
And adding those specific findings?
Yeah.
So if you want to take a look at S1-7 to see if there's any or all that you'd like to adopt.
She admitted to mislabeling the dog and the cat that she had euthanized that day, but then she later changed that story to where she didn't feel she had mislabeled them, that it was potentially that the tags had gotten switched on the pet, so.
But that didn't change it, she admitted it.
Right. And she admitted it initially.
That would be an added fact, that she changed it.
I don't know if that's a...
Right. Because she did admit it in her response. Written response.
So we can certainly add that to the factual allegation, to the findings of fact. That during the course of the investigation, the sword changed on it.
All right, so I'm going to speak to you guys along here. I'm not supposed to do this. I'm supposed to facilitate and make a motion, but I'm going to make a motion to find the IC committee's proposed findings of fact is our findings of fact numbers 1-7, and also include for number 4 that as an addendum later on at the committee hearing and in a written response, the respondent blamed the faulty zip ties.
Well, I
think I was concerned about... We'll probably wordsmith that a little bit.
Yeah, I was more concerned about the tags being falling off and being switched during transit or something like that. So we have a motion and a second.
A motion and a second, and wordsmithing will be accepted.
Mr. Chairman, could we, will that wordsmithing include the fact that in the respondent's written response of October the 3rd, 2020, she admits responsibility?
And I believe we're, you know, as it's set forth in paragraph 4 of the IC findings of fact,
All right, so a motion of 4, a second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Nay.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Heinrich?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Logie?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Motion passes.
That motion passes. And for this part, then we can in our violation, we included the conclusions of law, right?
Yes, we're good. Now it's on to the order.
Good on that. So now we're on to history.
There's no previous disciplinary history.
Then we're on to what the consent agreement will contain.
Of 1 year probation, no
civil penalty, and 4 hours of CE in, it's not really record keeping, but documentation. It's not record keeping.
Well, this is what it is.
Record keeping.
You know, in record keeping.
So you have, what's that? 1 year probation?
1 year probation, the first violation. No civil penalty and 4 hours of CE in medical record keeping.
I'm a second.
Can I just ask for a clarification? The civil penalty was, did you mention an amount?
I said none. No civil
penalty. Oh, no civil penalty. Thank you. So it's 1 year probation for 4 hours of continuing education. I should have up to a year to complete it. Thank you. I can't hear that well with my mask on.
I can't speak that well with my mask on.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
The governor said you'll have to have it. Okay. All right, so I'm going to throw this out there. We do have a limit on a civil complaint. Yeah, it's the first one, but it's pretty bad too. She's already, as I understand from what we've been provided, refunded everything. So I would propose an amendment to add a $1,000 civil fine minus what she refunded the complaint. Be an uneven number, but be a message.
I don't think a civil penalty is warranted. I think she understands what she did. I don't believe this was ill intent. I think she truly made a mistake and she was trying to figure out how this happened, but I don't see where civil penalties have changed behavior. I think just the process of coming before the board and having a violation is going to change behavior.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. We've lost Dr. Heinrich off the phone. So if you could just pause.
I'm still here.
Are you still here? Okay. I apologize.
Yeah.
Is that an old text? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so if there's no second, that'll fail. I would add, yes, usually on the first no priors, I would agree, but the change in the story really hits me. And that's why I would propose that.
I think
it's pretty obvious.
Change in
change in the story was her trying to figure out what happened?
I don't think it was trying to figure out. I think she grasped, well, I've had written in my notes from reading the interview through, quote, grasping at straws to shift blame. That's what I've got in my notes. That was my read on the change from, oh, man, I should have done it right then instead of waiting until I got home. I must have mixed them up. To, those darn zip ties. I kept telling them they didn't work.
And I can see both. I don't know her.
I don't either. But she didn't come here to present herself to us and look us in the eye either. So.
This is Heinrich, and I'll second that addendum to the motion to add a civil penalty of $1,000 minus refunded fees. This is a business that provides one service, euthanasia, and it just wasn't done properly.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I don't think it's an addendum. It sounds like it's
amendment.
It sounds like it's a new motion because we didn't get a second on the first. So okay. The new motion is to offer a consent agreement, 1 year probation, 4 hours of continuing education, and a civil penalty of $1,000 to be reduced by the amount that the amount that has been refunded to the owner. So I believe it's a civil penalty of $370. But we'll double check that.
And to be signed within 30 days, or it seems to involve.
Correct. Thank you.
And is my second approve all that?
This is Heinrich, yes.
Okay. And Mr. Lohi, members of the board, just the civil penalty is to be paid within that 1 year as well.
Yes.
Thank you.
And the 4 hours are in addition to the hours required for licensure. All right, so we have the new motion on the floor. And a second, any further discussion? Let's do your roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Heinrich?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, so that will conclude case 2021 or 2120. The chair would entertain a related motion. If anyone cares to make one. Open a case.
Mrs. Frost, do you have further concerns with regards to files to want to open a case?
I think the only thing that I really, really wanted to address, since the requirement is that there's a wait listed, is the significant discrepancy of weight, like what the process is when the pet arrives. Is there some sort of a weight check, or you know, how does that exactly happen? So that I do have that question. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that, but when you're dealing with a 4-time weight difference, that seems significant enough for sure. And obviously board staff did address my other questions as far as species, and others identifying a differentiator that does make sense to not open the bag, due to, potential exposure, especially if there's, something that can be zoonotic.
Do we have a motion to open a new case? I would like to see and hear more, and I think we got our open time period to revise our rules, and if there's something that needs to be changed in there, we might find out a whole lot of what we can and can't do, or what should or shouldn't be done in that rule changing process.
Can we still, since we already voted on the other one, can we still open this case and just open it with going straight to an informal? Because I feel like we already have everything they would present in that initial review. So I don't know that we're going to get anything else. I think it's now, it's a matter of asking questions.
You could, but one of the things that you may want to consider is it's kind of a hybrid. I think you'd still like to give some sort of, give them an opportunity to submit whatever they want in advance. So you have the opportunity to read if there's any supplemental information or anything that they'd like to add. But at the same time, you know, have it, you know, come before you for the informal. So give them an opportunity to respond in writing and have that time frame, you know, set before the informal so that board staff can get that information to you.
So are you suggesting that we give them till May to give us more information and then go ahead and schedule an informal in June? We'll wait till we have that and then.
We'll be saying to do an informal and then move it up to email. Or sorry, do an investigative review for us, right?
No, not necessarily. Again, I think whenever you know, we can work it into the agenda, whether it's May or June, just make sure that we give them an opportunity to submit whatever information they would like ahead of time so that it can be presented to you when the informal is held.
I mean, ideally, I would say if we could prioritize it for May, since this is kind of a critical issue that we need to get addressed immediately if pets are being cremated. So, I mean, I think there's a reason for pushing it forward and trying to do it quickly. I'm fine with them having time to respond up until, say, a week before the May meeting. And then we have it in the supplement materials for review prior to an informal in May. If they couldn't for some reason make May, I guess I would obviously be open until June. But I just think that under the circumstances, this isn't something I would want lingering out there for months.
Yeah, and just keep in mind, the informal is voluntary. They can almost say no. And then it'll come back before you to decide what you want to do next.
All right, well, we still have a motion.
I would make a motion that we open a case specifically with regards to Powell's involvement and prioritize it for an informal for the May meeting, allowing them the opportunity to respond between now and then on any additional information they may have related to the case.
Second.
This is Mickey, I'll second.
The motion on the floor is second to open a case and provide an opportunity for response and move to the informal. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes, so we'll open the case. All right, that takes us down to case number 2193. And anything else on schedule to start here? Up for a little bit. All right, case number 2193. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes. Case 2193, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent is L.H. Nelson, DVM. On January 14, 2020, Tazzy, a 15-year-old female domestic short-haired cat, was presented to Dr. Louise for evaluation and diagnostics. Blood work revealed the cat was hyperthyroid and methimazole 5 milligram was prescribed. Ms. Tara Morgan was instructed to give half tablet twice a day orally. On April 14th, 2020, a refill was requested and approved by Dr. Louise. No changes to the prescription. On July 14th, 2020, Dr. Louise quit and left the premises. On July 31st, 2020, Ms. Morgan requested a refill of methadone, which was approved by Dr. Pike. No changes to the prescription was made. On August 3rd, 2020, Ms. Morgan stated that she asked if she could increase the dose of methadone as the cat was not doing well. The request was approved, according to Ms. Morgan, by hospital manager Romy Phillips. On August 13th, 2020, the cat passed away. The complainant expressed concern that the cat's medication was increased without blood work being performed prior. And in this case, it was brought directly back to you since you opened the investigation and did not go to the committee. Dr. Nelson and Ms. Roman Phillips did respond to the investigation, and I had also called and asked if they had known who had possibly increased the medication for Ms. Morgan and her cat Tassie, and I was told no one to their knowledge.
All right, so we have the respondent. Would you care to address the board? Please state your name for the record.
Dr. Harrison Nelson.
Thank you. And you have 5 minutes to address the board.
All right. I am the I was the medical director and CEO of Pet Doctor LLC in Tucson during the time that this event happened. So the question, I guess, that I'm here for was the accusation that that Romy Phillips had made or okayed a medication. So Romy, I refer to her as Romy, is a young lady that has worked for our hospital for 7 years. She actually is a part owner, was a part owner at the time, and she had done a very excellent job with the hospital. She came to us basically as a client and was hired and then worked her way up to be the manager of the hospital. She was a graduate of the U of A and is in the Air Force Reserve. So I have to tell you, this lady's kind of got it on the ball. And since the accusation was made, we've had several discussions about the case and what her input was. And she swears to me that she had no contact in any way, either privately, on the phone, or text message with the complainant until the day the cat died. And then, of course, she was the one that took that message and spent most of the day with the lady, consoling her, taking care of the cat. We did a free cremation. Offered to help her get a new cat, etc., on and on. And so I don't know if something was said during that day, but it had nothing to do with adjusting the medication. She simply is the person in charge of training our staff to what to say to clients over the phone. So it is kind of hard for me to believe that she would have made a statement like that to the complainant. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a he said, she said, and this is what we're left with. So, I mean, I trust this woman with our practice, and I don't know what else to say yet.
We are the complainant. We're up there. Ms. Bross, you're the lead on this one.
Yes, so, you know, obviously familiar with the original case, and, you know, there was nothing in the medical record that indicated either of the doctors in the two previous cases had ordered an increase in the methimazole, and based off of the statement from the complainant, in those cases, you know, we opened the board case to look in, further look into the practices of medication refill requests and if team members were authorizing those. I appreciate the information that was provided, looking over those responses, also the efforts that were made to reach out to a previous team member who would have, you know, had some knowledge in the case. And, you know, I really, I don't have a reason to believe that a veterinarian wasn't inquired based on that information, that a veterinarian wasn't asked about an increase. I think it's reasonable to say that the information may not have made it back in the medical record. Also, you know, the fact that they did look into it further upon the owner's request and made sure that the dosing was within a safe range for the patient. And that, you know, refills have been made without the requirement of blood work. And again, I'm not seeing an issue here for why we opened the case. So I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second. A motion for a second to dismiss case 2193 with no violation. Any further discussion? I guess I would add that just like the respondent said, it is a classic he said, she said. I mean, there's not anything really that points to one or the other. I just jotted down, because I took a little, couple little twists and turns as I read through this, and then read a little more, and then read a little more, and even took another turn, hearing directly from the respondent today, a little bit more about his office day here. So, but some of the things I wrote down is that, for one, we don't know. I mean, the owner said that she doubled the dose or increased the dose, but the label on the product that was dispensed never said that. So we don't know whether she really did that or not, right? Did the cat ever get an increased dose? I don't know. All we know is it died. So I don't know if anybody told her to increase the dose. And then when she complains about, well, they didn't do any blood work before the dose increase. Well, you didn't take it in for any blood work before you said you did the dose increase.
Right.
And you did it, not the doctor. And so you got to take responsibility for your own actions also. So I just think that adds to the, gives a little more weight to one side than the other. And wanted to read that in. So any further discussion? Motion on the floor is to dismiss.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Item number 10 in the investigative committee report, it states that the office manager, who I believe is Ms. Phillips, had reached out to the former employee, Cassandra Lopez, and that Ms. Lopez told Ms. Phillips that she recalled talking to Dr. Lewis about increasing the dosage of the medication, and that Dr. Lewis approved the increase, but she didn't know why it wasn't written down in the medical records.
So again, I just go back to, did the cat ever get an increased dose? We don't know. That's just what the owner said. It's not in the medical record. It's not on the prescription bottle. It wasn't dispensed that way.
It sounds like
she's just saying that she gave the cat an increased dose and somebody told her to do it.
Right, but that's not uncommon for a medication to go out with a label and then an increased dose to happen later and not be on the label because the label was already printed from before.
Yeah, then the next time it'd be on the label.
The next time it will be, but I don't know if she did or if she didn't. I don't know if that was said or not. That's the problem. I see what James saying in that I think it could have been something that was said that made the owner think they could increase it, but I don't know who's at fault here because there's too many he said, she said.
So, and I guess, and maybe I'm making a mistake doing so, but in hearing the respondent talk about, you know, Air Force Reserves, you know, I'll remain neutral on U of A grad. instead of playing that, I'm a U of A grad, so I'm not going to be partial with that. But you know, that, and a part owner of the practice, you're not gonna sabotage your own business. Now, you may make a mistake, yeah. But, like, it goes back to the he said, she said, we really don't know if the cat ever got in there.
I don't think it was done out of sabotaging the business. I think it might be business practices that are going on there that aren't acceptable, and she would never know. She might think that that's how it's supposed to be. I don't think she's trying to do anything wrong. I think it just, it's not really what happened. I don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, he said, she said, and I don't see anything that makes me believe what she said. So, that's where I'm at. But I'm fine with the business. I know where I'm going to go.
We have a motion and a second?
We have a motion on the floor and a second to dismiss. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
That motion passes. 2193 is dismissed. Thank you, Dr. Nelson, for making
that clear.
All right, so we're not quite at 10:05. So let's see if we can squeeze one more in. Oh, another court back over. Skip down to 2130. Tracy, would you read us this summary, please?
Yes. Case 2130, the complainant is Elijah Black. The respondent is Josh Finch, DVM. On August 14, 2020, Jack, a 14-year-old male German Shepherd Corgi mix, was presented to respondent for anorexia and lethargy. The dog was examined, blood work was performed, and the dog was discharged with instructions to eat a bland diet. On August 17, 2020, respondent discussed his concerns for pancreatitis and recommended supportive care at that time. If the dog did not improve, an abdominal ultrasound would be recommended. On September 4th, 2020, due to the dog not improving, an abdominal ultrasound was performed. The dog was administered vitamin D and discharged with Serenium. Respondent did not discuss the results with the pet owners. On September 10th, 2020, the dog was presented to Dobson Ranch Animal Hospital and Grooming for a second opinion. The dog was not able to support himself. Blood work was performed and revealed anemia, azotemia, and hyperphosphatemia. Due to the dog's poor prognosis, the dog was humanely euthanized. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board find ARS 322232 number 11, gross negligence, failure to recommend a urinalysis, including a specific gravity, sub-Q fluids or IV fluids, hospitalization, and recheck blood work. ARS 322232 number 12, as it relates to R311-5011, failure to provide courteous verbal interchange by not relaying the ultrasound results to the pet owner in a timely manner. And ARS 322231, as it relates to R311-502L4, failure to document in the medical record an examination of the dog on August 19th, 2020, and September 4th, 2020. Only temperature, pulse, and respiration were noted. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, we have no respondent, Mr. Stoll, monitor. And no complainant. Dr. James, you're the lead on this one.
All right, so we're discussing case 2130. We don't have anyone here?
Nope.
Is that about to stop, Mr. Bull?
This is full monitoring.
Okay. I definitely have some questions on this case as far as mostly around there's quite long delays in follow-up, so where staff reported patient not doing well, and there were long delays before the vet called back. So I definitely have some more questions regarding this case, and so I'd make a motion that we move case 2130 to an informal.
Second.
A motion on the floor, a second to move case 2132 an informal. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. 21:30, we'll move to informal. And we are at 10:05, so let's go to section 4, number 2. 1937, regards to Crystal Delano DBM, quarterly appearances required by the Senate grant. Board may review, discuss, take action on information presented. Welcome back. Thank you for being here today. How was traffic this morning coming down the hill?
Not too bad.
Good.
Ms. Sullivan, you are the lead.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Hello again, Dr. Delano, and welcome.
Thank you.
We saw the excellent performance review, quarterly performance review from Dr. Holcomb. That was great. And you should give yourself a pat on the back for being in recovery during a pandemic, because the experts say that makes recovery more difficult. So congratulations on your continued success. I do have one thing to ask you. You're eligible now to have upon board approval to have access to controlled substances. Do you feel comfortable and confident that that would not add more stress?
Definitely.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, we would need to move a motion to authorize that there is evidence of compliance with the term of continued compliance with the term of the order, terms of the order, and the board that would designate the executive director to provide Dr. Delano with written authorization to administer controlled substances and or potentially addictive medications.
A motion on the floor.
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I guess I would follow up with the Dr. Sullivan, that was a question, or
that's okay.
That's a question that I would have asked.
Okay.
Are you comfortable?
Yeah.
And I remind you that. I mean, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't. So, I would rely on you and your judgment to say, you know what? I mean, yeah, we're probably going to vote to approve this, but it doesn't mean you have to. And it doesn't mean that you can't come back and say, I want to go back to the way it was for a while. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
I don't know, but you've earned some trust and respect, and you've been doing a good job, so thank you for that. Motion on the floor. Any second? Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Right. Since it's a consent agreement, can we do a roll call? Since it's involving our consent agreement?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Heinrich?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Ms. Sullivan?
Aye.
That motion is approved. Anything you want to update us on, or any more questions for
you want to take a minute or two and tell us how you're doing?
I did write it down.
Good. Okay. Justify my trip down.
Yeah. No, I'm doing great. I'm really excited. My horse. I'm going to get my horse on the 15th of May. And I love where I work. You know, it's really nice to actually be appreciated, and it actually makes me strive to prove myself even more. My schedule's changing to make it even easier. I have 3-day weekends to go out and do stuff outdoorsy, get away. And I think that's it. No complaints, everything's going great, minus the fact that I have really bad allergies and I'm turning 40 in a couple months, but having a hard time with that.
This turned 40 a couple weeks ago.
Fair enough. And that's it.
Very good. Thank you for your appearance today, and we will, the office and staff will be sending you their confirmation of what we did today. We appreciate you.
Perfect.
Thanks for taking the time, and we'll see you in 3 months.
Yeah, good. Good work. Thank you.
Safe travels back.
Yep.
All right, so we are at our little quick break before we do another formal. So let's do that right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.